secret of the mind. Brought to you by
the Good Feet Store and All Pro Foundation Repair.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Dave.
Thank you. And joining us from a remote location known only to him, Gordon Keith.
Hi there. What's happening, guys?
Oh, he went potty. He had to go potty.
Oh, is that what that sound is there? Oh, here we go.
Golly, you're so bassy today.
Hey, also, I have this.
You sound like you're speaking to us from heaven.
Or does it sound heaven. Weird?
No, you're fine. You're just robust.
Powerful. You sound like John Facenda.
John Facenda.
The autumn wind.
The autumn wind.
All right, so I teased Arena Rock wife swap. So we've been following the drama of the Foo Fighters trying to find a new drummer because, you know, they lost their drummer.
Taylor Hawkins is dead, Dave.
Sorry, Corby.
Yes, he's dead.
And so they
good friend, by the way.
They hired Josh Freese, who has played with tons of people like Devo, Perfect Circle, Guns N' Roses, etc., etc. But then he was abruptly fired. And he, at the time, said that in my 40 years of drumming professionally, I've never been let go from a band. So he was just shocked and disappointed. Well, the Foo Fighters, they've taken some time off because of the Dave Grohl fun baby.
Dave, it happens in rock and roll. Sometimes we have babies out of wedlock.
It happens, indeed. And so the Foos need a drummer, at least for touring purposes, if not a full-time member. And so they have found that drummer. And that drummer is Ian Rubin. Rubin has been a touring member of Nine Inch Nails since 2009. And so he asked if he could have permission from Trent Reznor to join the Foos. Like, hey, it's been a great run, but do you mind if I jump ship and join the Foos? Yeah. And so Trent Reznor gave him his blessing, and then in a twist, Trent Reznor then hired Josh Freese to be Nine Inch Nails' new drummer.
Man.
So they're about to go out on their Peel It Back tour.
Is this the first trade of this kind we've ever seen?
I don't know, but Freese, he has history with Nine Inch Nails. He was the drummer for Nine Inch Nails from 2005 to 2008. And so he has familiarity, and they know him. So I guess it's working out just fine for all involved, but it is kind of a weird wife swap.
Gordon, what if Duran Duran traded Andy Felcher for Randy Jackson of Journey or whatever that guy's name is in Duran Duran that you like?
Okay, so let me do a little work on your statement. There was never a guy in Duran Duran named Andy Felcher. There was an Andy Taylor who played guitar.
Right.
And you were proposing that they trade him for Randy Jackson, the bass player.
He meant John Taylor.
I think if Randy Jackson would include his samurai sword.
I agree.
I think then you got to
a fair trade.
You got to do that deal.
Yeah, every time you have to, ladies.
Boy, bands would be amazing if we could make trades.
I know.
I love this. And we have a deadline.
Yeah, and a future number one hit.
That's right. Oh, man. I love this.
A couple of other music stories. We talked earlier this week about...
You can't trade Ozzy Osbourne.
No, yeah.
Why not?
You're not able to trade...
Well, I mean, Black Sabbath is rebuilding after the death
you could
of Ozzy.
You could trade hologram Ozzy.
They're tanking for Arch.
God. We've talked about how Justin Timberlake was criticized his most recent tour dates. He seemed real lackadaisical.
Well, there was one in particular in Turkey, I do believe, that he was called out the most for.
Yeah, that he wasn't really dancing, and he was wearing like a really oversized coat with his hood up.
Yeah.
And was barely singing. Well, he has made the announcement that he's been diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Way to go, Corby.
What? That he says, I've been battling some health issues and was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which I don't say so you feel bad for me, but to shed light on what's been going on behind the scenes. If you've experienced this, you know that living with it can be debilitating both mentally and physically.
Good stuff. Corby,
that's why he says it's his excuse for being sluggish and low energy.
Well, what are the symptoms?
Well, he says that he's has nerve damage and fatigue from the Lyme disease. Now, I don't know if he got it from a tick bite. Are there other ways to get Lyme disease?
Let's see. According to internet, a rash, fever, headache, fatigue, muscle and joint aches, swollen lymph nodes, more severe symptoms if untreated include arthritis, nervous system problems,
diarrhea,
and heart complications. Is diarrhea always just thrown in there to everything?
Yeah, because everybody gets diarrhea, so it's hard to say whether or not it's a symptom of what you have or you just have diarrhea.
It's just easy for the doctor to, like, rubber stamp an A-plus on his diagnosis. Like, well, you have diarrhea, right?
Diarrhea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, and then you're... Like,
and it's always a possible side effect of every medication, too.
Sorry, Gordon?
How often are you guys getting this? Don't make it sound like every other one is...
I'm just saying,
system going off down there.
No, diarrhea. It's it just seems like that diarrhea is included on the laundry list of issues that you have with almost every type of disease.
See, I think I have.
It's just a sign things aren't going well.
I think I have impending diarrhea.
You always have a fear of diarrhea.
Yes,
it could flare up at any second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, do you have a bowel condition, Davey? That.
Yes, he does. Gordon.
Well, no. So I made
constant diarrhea.
I made a breakfast burrito this morning, and one of the eggs that I use might have been
expired in 2013.
It might have been a little dodgy because it had a hairline crack in it already.
And you still used it?
And I still used it.
Well, what's the end of the story?
Well, I haven't had diarrhea yet, but I fear it.
Okay, all right.
It's always simmering under the surface.
Yeah, just like the Cowboys feared Tyler Guyton had blown out his knee, I fear diarrhea.
You fear blowing out your ass.
Right. One last music note for the day. Corby.
What?
Are you aware, I'm sure you are, that this weekend... Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the three anniversary shows, the 50th anniversary shows for Dead & Company from Golden Gate Park.
I am aware, and I would like to tease the 550 segment, Dave, as I will be there.
Okay, well then Corby doesn't need this, because Corby will actually be... IRL in Golden Gate Park. But if you can't make it, and you're
if you don't have access to a page,
if you are as big a fan of guitar noodling and staring at your shoes and swaying back and forth as Corby is, then you can go see Night 3, the August 3rd show of Dead & Company, in IMAX.
Whoa!
So they are going to simulcast the show at IMAX theaters around the country, and it'll be live. It'll start at 6 p.m. Pacific, so 4 p.m. local here in Central Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be about 3.5 hours is what these Dead shows run. And
well, they have an opener, too, that's 3 hours.
I don't know if the opener will be part of the simulcast.
So on Sunday, Trey Anastasio from the Fish, the Fish lead singer is... Saturday, it's Sturgill Simpson is the opener, and Friday's Billy Strings.
Okay, and they'll have a 20-minute intermission.
Yes.
To go do more
drugs. To let
us
rest for the diarrhea.
Yeah. Diarrhea.
To find more drugs.
Yeah. A bit of movie news, as I know most of us are fans of The Social Network, the 2010 film.
Sure.
Written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by David Fincher. Did you like it, Gordon? No.
I really wasn't that big of a fan of it either. I thought it was fine. I think it was just more that we were caught up in the social media age. It's like, oh, cool, Facebook, yeah.
Okay, well, there is a sequel on the way.
Facebook 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, well, I guess it's the working title is The Social Network 2.
Okay.
But it's based on the Facebook files, which were published in the Wall Street Journal in 2021. Series of articles that talked about Facebook's harmful effects on teens, and it's a...
What teens are on Facebook?
Well, at the time.
Oh, okay.
In the teens of this century.
And on Facebook. Do you guys know a lot of people on Facebook?
Funny you should mention this.
Go on.
Last night was Doodlebug's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And so
you forgot.
You posted on her wall.
We called her.
Gross.
With glitter.
Gave her a month free on Sturmstack.
I did.
It's the only thing you could think of.
I sent her a free
gift
month.
Card to Sturmstack.
No,
you're going to love this breakdown of Deuce Vaughn.
No, it was funny because she wanted to do a video call. And when usually mom's not pushing for technology, but so we did it, and she was telling us how easy this actually would be on Facebook if we would just log on to Facebook, and then Sally and I have to tell her we haven't been on Facebook since like the 90s.
In the 80s, yeah.
And we don't want to go back. But anyway, it was there's nothing more fun. I would recommend this if you're fortunate enough to still have your parents in your life in their late 70s or 80s.
Well,
always do the video call with them.
Keep scoreboarding me and
yeah.
Gordon, who lost our parents, Bob.
And I'm sorry about that. I really
brings up a lot.
I'm sorry, but there are other people that still have live parents.
Oh.
And to them, do a video call tonight. You'll love it. It's better than anything on TV. As they're holding the phone upside down and
dropping it.
Yeah, you're
pointing it at the ceiling.
If you want video of the light fixtures above them, you need to do a video call with your parents.
Well, the follow-up is going to be written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. So he wrote the first one, but Fincher directed it. He's going to write and direct the sequel. And so they have some casting announcements. I guess these aren't official, but they're close to being official. Mikey Madison and Jeremy Allen White are supposed to be prominent roles. And Jeremy Strong is supposed to play Mark Zuckerberg.
Who's Jeremy Strong?
You know, from Succession.
Which one?
Oh, yeah,
he?
The guy that's way too intense.
Yeah, what was his name? I already forget. The oldest son.
Roy.
Roy Kent. Kendall Roy.
Kendall Roy.
So Jeremy Strong will take over the Mark Zuckerberg role from Jesse Eisenberg.
That's how it shakes out.
I totally see that.
Gordon, do you function on Facebook at all? Are you an active Facebook man?
No, but I need to get back on it, and I've been locked out.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, I did all these great security settings, and then the only person that's effectively kept out is myself.
Right. Like, I don't even know if my kids even know that it's a thing. Like, if I said, hey, so Facebook's blah, 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 they'd be like, what?
Huh?
What is that? It's never come up. It's never mentioned in the house. None of that.
The only reason that my daughter knows about it is I will show her Facebook memories. Like, here's you 10 years ago when Facebook serves up a photo to me.
Like, where do your kids get their Hunter Biden memes?
That's true. I definitely need to show more Hunter Biden memes.
Okay,
they're always asking about his laptop, too.
Last thing really quick. Diddy and his defense team, they are asking the judge to change his Mann Act conviction to an acquittal because the Mann Act involves transporting someone across state lines for sex, and he says that he was just a voyeur and an amateur porn director, that he didn't actually engage in the sex with the sex workers, that he was either watching or recording the freak-offs, and that the women made the travel arrangements and the compensation arrangements, not him. So he was just producing amateur porn to watch later.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's a needle that will not be thread successfully.
No, that's his Hail Mary, barring a pardon from certain someone who shall not be named.
By the way, the Mann Act, was the origin of the Mann Act Jack Johnson? Noted boxer, Jack Johnson, right? Like, he had a white woman that he was dating and drove her from, like, Illinois to Michigan or something. They're like, okay, we'll arrest you here.
We'll figure out a way to turn this into a conviction.
Right.
All right, coming up next, the rant revival and a salacious story of love gone wrong.
When the weeknight Rangers home games are over, it's time for Sean Bass and David Mino to host the second show of their daily doubleheader on Diamond Talk. Brought to you by Globe Life Insurance, Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Rant. Rant.
Bohemian Rant.
Ah, yes, it's Thursday. That means the Rant Revival. And that means the three horsemen of the apocalypse. Corby Davidson, Gen X Davey Lane, and of course, their leader, Gordon.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We still have to report to Gordon every night on whether we've done something worthy.
Do you have a listening session?
Uh-huh. And he checks yes or no.
You think that the three of us have ever reviewed any of them together to try to improve?
Well, we used to go to Texadelphia and relive the show after every Saturday show.
Drink 700 beers.
Did we do a sponsor already? I bet we did.
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Oh, you're just lurking. Hey. Waiting.
And, are you twitching tonight?
We are Twitch-a-lini tonight. Yes, we are twitching tonight, 7:35 p.m. Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith. Join us. Totally free. Totally free.
All right. Totally free. That's awesome.
Totally free, Al.
So this is a story that I've been waiting on, and it was going to be an E! News exclusive, but we just didn't have time for it. But, man, this one makes me really happy. In a sad way.
Yeah. Well, let's start from the beginning. As some may not know the name, but those of us who grew up in the 80s definitely know the name David Geffen. Now, he started his career in the music biz in 1971, co-founding Asylum Records. He later founded Geffen Records in 1980 and DGC Records in 1990. He also co-founded DreamWorks Records in 1996. And he has DreamWorks SKG with Spielberg and Katz and himself.
Yeah, Jeffrey Katzenberg, Spielberg, and David Geffen. Geffen is worth what?
Well, he's now retired. Forbes puts his net worth at $8.7 billion, whereas Bloomberg says that his net worth is over $9.1 billion, and they have him at number 371 on the list of world's wealthiest people.
He did well, and you're right. When we were kids, the name David Geffen was synonymous with music and entertainment, but we never saw him or heard from him. He was like the silent one.
Yeah, he was in the background. He did make a name for himself in the 70s when he dated Cher for 18 months.
Boy, what a beard that was.
Yeah, well, and they went to the Grammys together, and that really put him on the map as far as a music celebrity and a music influencer. But they started their relationship in 1973 when Cher was still married to Sonny Bono. And then after they were together for 18 months, then Cher left Geffen for Greg Allman.
Okay.
So Greg Allman took over, handed the baton to Greg Allman.
A legit heterosexual.
Yeah, but then Geffen finally came out as a gay man in 1992.
Gordon.
I say all this because he has been dragged into court. He's being sued by his estranged husband, Donovan Michaels, for breach of contract. And he, David Geffen, is 82. Yeah. Donovan Michaels, also known as David Armstrong, is 32.
Oh, boy.
And they have filed for divorce. They have not previously shared how they met. The New York Post had reported at one time that Armstrong, who worked as a model, dancer, and fitness instructor, was Geffen's personal trainer. But the divorce filing, Michael says that Geffen sought him out on the website SeekingArrangements.com.
Is that for high rollers?
Yes.
Or it is?
Yes.
Well, how do they prove that you're... Like, when you get on these websites and that are for, you know, millionaires, billionaires, whatever, how do you prove that?
I don't know. Have you ever logged on to SeekingArrangements.com, Gordon?
No.
Have you ever had a transactional relationship?
All relationships are transactional.
Ooh, got you there.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Got you there.
Well, Michael says that Geffen paid him $10,000 for sex the first time they met.
It's normal.
And that what began as a paid sexual relationship evolved into a partnership. That Geffen told him that he loved him and that he would treat him as his life partner and that they would share all assets equally. and that he would support Michaels financially for life. So in 2023, they got married with no prenup.
Okay, so seeing photos of this young strapping man, he is almost, he almost looks AI generated. He like is so striking and handsome and
chocolate,
Dave, yes. Huh. Yes, and chocolate. E.
Well, he that is actually part of this lawsuit, is the younger husband accuses the older gentleman of systemic exploitation, that he says that Geffen used a toxic mix of seduction, control, promises of love, and lavish displays of wealth to entrap him in a cycle of dependency, submission, and humiliation. And so, while he was in Florida trying to make his way as a model, he fell into exotic dancing.
That's a natural-looking couple, Bob.
Honestly, I was looking at that, and I'm like, that's the guest booking or the Picks with Friends payoff this year. Have you seen this outfit? You got the
mesh shirt.
The fishnet shirt, and then the white suit jacket, Gordon, and then what appears to be like white dress shorts, and then that go to the knee, and then some nice black socks, half calf, and then some nice black dress shoes, and a black cowboy hat and sunglasses.
Well, and I also see through the mesh shirt a nice set of 12 to 17 abs.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's part of the costume.
Well, it's actually better if it's not. This is not to be worn by everybody, but it would sure be fun to have. Oh, I don't know. Who loses just about
job?
Oh, George. Yeah, if George was in this, that'd be really fun.
Yeah, so
the Super Bowl.
So Michael says that when he first moved to Florida, he was an exotic dancer and starring in X-rated gay porn to make ends meet until he met David Geffen.
Way to go,
to make
Gordon.
Meets end.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that, so he gave up his dreams of a modeling career to dedicate himself fully to this promise of a lifetime of anything he wanted.
To get paid.
Via David Geffen. And so that it ended when Geffen was on his super yacht in Venice last month ahead of the Bezos wedding, and that he ordered Michaels to immediately vacate their New York home. That...
Okay.
Michaels, the young husband, was not invited to the Venice wedding and then was booted from their New York home.
So why? What would this guy have to do to make an 83-year-old horn dog, who's using this guy as a boy toy, who knows what probably this guy is doing on the side, what possibly could have been the reason for Geffen to finally just be like, I'm done?
Yeah, I don't know why he decided to, after 2 years of homosexual bliss, to finally pull the plug on this relationship.
Like, but why would the old guy that dated Anna Nicole Smith kick her out?
Right. Well, maybe it was because Michaels was pushing against the control, because this is what he says about the relationship. He says that in the complaint, he says that Geffen would find ways to satisfy his thirst for control over Michaels. He would critique every aspect of Michaels' appearance and have strict control over his body hygiene, that he had him undergo extensive painful treatments to conform to an idea of perfection, which included laser hair removal and dental treatments. So he had
get him to do these things?
Well, it was part of their agreement.
Like, I'll keep paying you as long as you turn into this figure.
Yeah, that you have zero body hair and perfect teeth.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy you whatever you want.
He couldn't get out of this. Were there allegations of drugging or...
Well, that's like the thing, is that I guarantee you he was like, all right, if I want to keep the $1 billion or whatever, I better just do this.
And don't think for a second there wasn't some sort of anal treatment going on, too.
What do you mean?
Some bleaching or some relaxing?
Something.
Diarrhea.
Something. Not that, Bob.
And so Michael says that, you know, when they first got together, he opened up to David Geffen about his upbringing in the foster care system in Michigan,
Bob.
And how he'd never had a real family, and he had run-ins with the law, and that he was a lost soul until he met David Geffen. And so that Geffen would use him as a prop in his lifestyle, that he was the white knight, the white savior, and that he was the gatekeeper to a better life for Michaels. And so not only was Michaels his private sexual object, he was a public prop that Geffen would use to show all his wealthy friends how benevolent and kind he was to this young man.
God. All right, so from the 30-year-old's perspective, like, he's now the boy toy of an 80-year-old man. Just around his friends, around the 30-year-old's friends, you know, 25 to 35-year-old
dudes. Is he allowed to have friends?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure he did in the past. But how do you sell that to your friends? You're like, look, I know
is
it
his
looks.
Claim that he loved David Geffen, and that this was all.
They said that they fell in love.
He wasn't getting anything out of it.
I mean, the lifestyle.
The money and the lifestyle.
What would you do for $4 billion, Gordon? Would you
bleach my anus for David Geffen?
Yeah, right. I mean, it seems like a fair trade.
Do you think, Dave, that your wife right now would allow you to be the boy toy of David Geffen?
Absolutely.
If it involved $4 billion.
Yeah, because she said that she would allow me to have sex with six women in six nights for $6 million.
So this.
Yeah, that's way over market is what.
Yeah, so for $4 billion, if I needed to spend 2 years as David Geffen's boy toy, she would say, that's fine.
If David Geffen came in at $4 billion, we would have to tell him, sir. You don't need.
I can say just
$3.9 billion of that.
Yes.
Just
you're outbidding yourself.
Stop bidding so much money.
Dave's got those big cartoon eyes. Like, oh my God.
Do you want to do it right now?
$10,000 sold.
By the way, Geffen plied him
with this job is now open, Dave. So you should apply for this job.
It's true. Yeah, I just need to open an account on seekingarrangements.com.
So this is very Diddy, because he says he plied him with cocaine and Molly constantly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means, though. Like, do this now, or just here, and then he does it on his own. I mean, you're a 30-year-old man that could literally kill this man with the snap of a neck.
He has no agency, though.
Right, but he's not forcing you.
Yeah, well, he's...
Yeah, he is.
He's a Florida gay man who is partying all the time anyway, so he's probably like, wow, free cocaine and Molly? Great.
Yeah. And he's still only 30.
Mark that.
Right? Yeah, we're on the radio.
Yeah, we're talking about gay sex on the radio.
Some lady just walked up and said, are y'all on the radio? Yeah. And that was Dave's report.
So, Gordon, you would definitely do this?
Yeah. No. Volunteer to be trafficked like that?
Sex crimes.
Tell me more about seekingarrangements.com.
Yeah. I mean
it's for all types.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's someone has
landscaping.
Someone has the means and someone has the body.
But how does
you're connecting.
How does the 30-year-old get on there? He didn't have anything.
Well, because it's for rich people to have an arrangement with someone who has the physical goods that the rich person wants.
Right. That's the thing, Corby. You have to understand, people are rich in different ways. This young guy is obviously rich with these physical attributes that are highly valued in the marketplace.
Yes.
Well, man. Sounds like a great sight.
Yeah, right? Have you?
Am I too old to be on? I know I'm too poor. Am I too old to be on the other side, on the left side of the page?
I mean, there's...
I don't think you're too poor.
I am. Shut up.
There's every kind of fetish out there.
Yeah.
So little 50-year-old ape boys. Somebody's going to want that.
You do look
I want
like
a middle-aged man who looks like Chaka from Land of the Lost. Where can I find
him? But I need him to be 50. I'm desperately needed to be 50 plus. Oh, boy. Well, let's say a prayer for those two lovebirds. I hope it all works out for them in the end.
Good one. Sounds like
thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm sorry I had so many details to the story, Gordon, and not enough Gordon in that story. But
it was
for
fine.
Those
great.
For those who feel like they didn't get enough Gordon, then you need to tune in to Gordon on Twitch tonight.
What if they had a procedure?
Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith. Sorry.
What if
go
they
ahead,
had like a starfish procedure done?
Sure.
Where it's like a Molly Pez dispenser for your buddy. Like it's just.
Well, we got to go, Gordon. We're sorry about that. We hate to run like this, but.
Yeah, we got Rangers to talk.
Alas, we must.
All right, Gordon. Thank you very much. We love you, buddy.
Love you guys. See ya.
There he goes, Gordon Keith. All right, let's welcome
go laser
in.
Your body for me, Gordon.